All right, here we are back at our Tuesday noon Bible study, and we are in still the book of Daniel. This seventh chapter has as we had expectation, is heavy, and we're going through it verse by verse and getting some very good interpretations of how God is working with his people. And how the chastening of the Lord is not always pleasant, but in that we discover who he is in the midst of all that, as well as discovering the situation of why we're in trouble, that there's some flaws within us. All right, so we have arrived all the way to verse 13 in Daniel chapter 7, and I will read and entertain comments and questions as we go, as usual. All right. And here we have Daniel as just a little catch up. Daniel is now having a dream of his own. He has interpreted two dreams so far. And if you do your study, he's having this dream and he is now getting his own revelation instead of interpreting the dreams of somebody else. And we have discovered that this dream that he has is a dream to help his people. This is the dream that he is personally having, and it's a little tough for him because anytime you get this much revelation when you are at a certain level, and he was not like we are today. Let me say this. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. He didn't have the Spirit of God indwelling him. So when the Spirit came upon him, it was always challenging, not as it is for us. So he's going through a little something here, trying to read and have an interpretation of what's going on. All right. So we're in Daniel chapter 7, and we shall go right into the 13th verse. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Comments. And I'll start with Elder. Up front, he's about to burst up there, I know.
Well, what Daniel is seeing, he's the Ancient of Days is God, that's the Father, and the Son of Man is Jesus. And what he is seeing is in the future that Jesus is going to be given this kingdom that shall never pass away. And even when you look at, it says all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And he's going to be glorified.
Everlasting dominion.
Elder?
Well, it says, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. I think that kind of looked like the when Christ come back the second time.
Yes, indeed.
He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion, glory, power, glory, and dominion and glory and kingdom. So he earned that from what he did on the cross and how he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this was something that Jesus return, and everybody will, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So whether they want to bow is one thing, but they will bow at one time. You know, I don't know whether that's in relationship to what we're talking about, but it's pretty much what Jesus has accomplished.
Okay. Anybody else? There's some good stuff in here now.
When I look at Daniel, when I first start reading it, you know, before I study or even previously, I was like, what is Daniel saying? You know, what is he doing, dreaming this stuff? But then I look at it now in a different context in terms of Daniel, God gave the visions to Daniel to bring comfort to the people because every kingdom is not a good kingdom. Every ruler is not a good ruler. He's showing us, and this compared to today, we're in crucial times like Daniel was back then. Daniel was a comfort for his people, but we are the hope of glory for the people today. When they come to us and tell us they're frustrated and they're scared, and you know, we know what to tell them, that God's kingdom will never be destroyed. It will be forever and ever. There's only one kingdom that's going to reign, and that's his. And we have the comfort for our people today, you know, to comfort them and to tell them that the good news, this is just one ruler or kingdom, but it will come and go. But there's one that will last forever.
That's preach.
Blessed hope.
So we are the hope of glory. We are like the Daniels. We to get that news out. Yeah. As my husband say, the newspaper, men and women throwing that newspaper of hope and glory.
Amen.
All right, let me just share some things. Now, let somebody else want to make a comment. All right, let's extract some revelation from here. One, the church's head, which is the Father, has given dominion to him, which is the Son, that every knee shall bow and tongue confess. That's Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10, which Elder here gave us. And it says, to him are given glory and a kingdom. All right? And the kingdom that was given him from God the Father. So when we look at all of the kingdoms that's been coming and going in the previous visions and what's going on with the people being captured by different kings, and they setting up kingdom that's coming and going, there's going to be one that we should have a hope for that's not going to be moving.
Right.
It's going to be a permanent kingdom. When it comes, that's it.
That's it.
Right?
That's
and the one that's going to sit on it is going to have all the power, and he's going to be a righteous king. He's going to be a righteous judge. So the people are looking at the situation from, we're being taken and we're being held captive by all these different people. We're suffering under hard times. You know, our faith is being tested. They're telling us don't even worship our gods. They've ravished our temples and taken the things that we use to worship God and played around with them. They've drank wine out of the chalices. They've desecrated and did everything to tear up what they had and held so dear. But here, Daniel is giving something that's saying, listen, the Father is going to give the Son, who we got to have our faith and trust in, a kingdom, and he's going to have dominion and power. It says a universal kingdom, the only universal monarch, the only one that's going to be righteous. And because all the other ones have pretended to be all of that, and guess what? Somebody came and took them over.
That's right.
Huh? Somebody came and came and captured them, or somebody came and killed them.
That's right.
But nobody's gonna kill our king,
right?
Right? When our king comes, the righteous, there will be nobody to come against them. All right. And not only that, this kingdom is gonna have all people, all nations, right? Mm-hmm. All
right.
Languages.
Inclusive.
Everybody would be up under his jurisdiction. And they won't be captives, they won't be slaves, right? There won't be any. I'm better than you, right? You my servant. None of this is gonna happen. Everybody gonna be fitly joined together. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have love. Now we're going to have peace. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and then not only that, this shall be one kingdom and an everlasting kingdom. His dominion shall not pass from one to another. Nobody be able to come and get it, and it'll not be destroyed. Even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Or internal policies or powers shall not come against our God. So now, isn't that a comforting thought?
It is. But when you think about the Jewish people during that time, this is going to be a hard sell for them because, you know, they felt that this was their religion, their God, you know, and now they're being told that it's going to be every race, you know, every language, every nation. So this is some humbling times for them to grasp this thought.
I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Now, have not through future studies, we've noticed that every time any of the disciples came on the scene and went out to talk to people, their main objection was what? Why are you taking it to these folk?
Right.
Huh?
The Gentiles. But
the Gentiles. Why? This all belongs to us. But here we are in the Old Testament. God is already sharing the fact that you guys, everybody, need to understand there will be a time coming where it will not be just exclusive to you. And that we're going to have. Now, let's move from there to here. Do we not experience this same thing today? It is our job to let everybody know that we got a soon coming king. We have a savior. We have one that the Father has given a mission, and his mission was to bring all nations, kindreds, tongues, all to become one in one body, and that's the body of Christ. Right? He is the righteous judge. He's the prophet, priest, and king. He's gonna have dominion. And it says he's going to make even his enemies be his footstool. So now this is what we have to convey today. Right. So I want y'all to look at it from the aspect. Daniel got this vision long time ago, right? Mm-hmm. But these scriptures are written for what? For our admonition, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking at it. How was it dealt with in the past? There are going to be some people that are going to have that same doubt. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they like, well, this is ours. You got people today, when you want to talk to them about the Lord, well, this is what we do, and this is how we do it. We don't wear this. We don't do that. We don't even go over there because they don't do this, and they don't do that. And we this is our little thing, you know. And nobody saved unless they follow our rules and all of that, instead of understanding there's a one call, and that's to be saved under Jesus Christ.
But that, if I may, I believe that's just the revelation of the scripture. For somebody who may read it, they may take it and run with it. But for another who may read it, they may not yet understand. So with that, it's one of those where, yes, it was spoken back then, and it even is spoken in the New Testament, but for those who heard it may not have taken it and ran with it.
And so that's it comes here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And so some plant, some water, but God brings the increase.
Amen.
So
I think that's what keeps Christians separated too from each other.
What?
They traditions.
Traditions.
It's so frustrating.
Okay.
And we're all Christians and love God, but still separated.
All right. So now.
Level of understanding.
So now here we are, and let's move on. We good?
There's something else that I wanted to bring out. Just this little tidbit. I was just thinking about way back then when this paragraph, Daniel, and the kingdoms and the authorities. And when I went over to the Holy Land, I was just thinking about how the Jews were in captivity by the Romans, by the Greeks, by the Persians, and all they have remnants of all the rulers that were over them in different rooms, and their artifacts that they saved, and the only place they could worship God was at the Wailing Wall. But in this paragraph, this was their hope of glory, that they had to hold on to, that a kingdom was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so awesome, because even before that happened, Daniel is, you know, he's experiencing these dreams. And I just thought about it. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, even before they even brought in captivity by all these kingdoms, here in this paragraph, he's already telling them what's to come. But there is one. And that was like, oh, you are so awesome.
So that means all of you all at any point can be used of God. It's not the fact that if they're going to listen or not. The fact is, are you going to speak or not?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I want y'all to understand that. You don't worry about whether they receive it or not. Your job is to speak it. Mm-hmm. If you don't speak it, it says, how can they hear unless somebody's speaking it? Somebody has to have, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word about testimony. So if you withholding your testimony, if you are withholding the fact that God has done something good in you, and that God is no respecter of persons, this is just one less person that doesn't have that, to say, well, hey, I can get it. If you can get it, I can get it.
My wife and my daughter was at a Seabreeze restaurant, and the waitress, you know, she seemed like a nice lady, a little young girl. And at the end, after we got through eating, I started asking her questions about, you know, her schooling and all that kind of stuff. Does she go to school? And I was telling her how much Jesus loved her. And I told her about Jesus has a plan for her life bigger than her plan that she has for life. She's working two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, guess what? My grandma just said that this morning to me. You see what I'm saying? Just
yes.
Like he was saying about
our plan.
We have to speak.
Yes.
We have to come up with some kind of conversation with the person that we're dealing with, even if it's in a restaurant or wherever it might be. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was basically the end of the conversation, you know, but I was able to confirm what our grandma had told her.
Mm-hmm. And so I want us to always take away from anything that you read out of the Bible, how can you apply that to you? Mm-hmm. And what is, if it was saying something then, it's saying something today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. And here I'm looking at Daniel's life. Now, if Daniel had not been captured by Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. right, he would not have been able to serve in all these different kingdoms that come up. The people would not have been able to see that he had an excellent spirit was found in him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was that excellent spirit? That he loved God, he mm-hmm. prayed three times a day, and he wasn't shamed, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
And in the midst of the testimony that he had was he believed in his God so much he was willing to die. So here's somebody we looking at back then that didn't have what we got. We got lexicons, we got 10 different versions, we got all these Bibles, we got all this word, we got preachers, we got radios, and that we got psalmists and mm-hmm. folks singing the word of God and going through all that, and all they had was when the Spirit came upon them. They didn't have and were not able to mm-hmm. allow the Spirit to dwell within this tabernacle, mm-hmm. this earthen vessel. So when we look at that thing, sometimes what you're going through may be an avenue that God is going to use you in.
Amen.
It wasn't good for him to be captured.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Because Daniel prayed three times a day, he ate a little better than everybody else. I'm just saying, if you think about it, because he was faithful, there was some rewards.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That was some rewards.
Amen.
He didn't allow his circumstances to change his faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm captive, you know. I'm a slave.
And he was.
But he had a position, and I want y'all to understand, Daniel was one of the prophets that did not hurt like everybody else, even though he was captain. Mm-hmm. All right? There's a lot of other ones went through a whole lot of, they couldn't have, eat like they wanted. They wasn't in the palace. They wasn't sitting among royalty. They didn't get to eat off of the big table. There was a whole lot of slaves out there, boy, that had it rough. But yet God worked through him, and he stayed humble because he stayed before God three times a day, and he could have had the big head. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, better him than me. Yeah, because I'd have had the big head.
Well, you know what? God chose Daniel, and God chooses us today. You know, the things that you're going through is not by accident. Your trials and tests and tribulations are to make you stronger to do the will of God. And that's what we forget. We internalize it. It's all about me, you know, what I'm going through. But actually, it's not about you. Because you just remember, when we accepted him, we gave up our lives. Supposedly. But we forget it. We gave it up. But we don't literally give it up, but we're supposed to give it up, and it's supposed to be all about him. It's supposed to be about him. So he's taking us through so we can get to the other side, and once we get to the other side, he's going to move us up higher to do his will, because at the point where we are, we can't do it. So we got to go through to get to the other side so we can do his will.
All right, y'all ready?
We ready.
Yeah. Let's roll. Verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. 16. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made known the interpretation of the things. 17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
Praise the Lord.
That was a question asked, and I'm just going to stop right here before y'all came in by Sister Francis, of why was the term beast used. And the connotation of beast is one that lacks spiritual wisdom, grace, and power. An animal or a beast runs off of instinct, which is out of the flesh. So when you see something that comes out of the ground, then there's nothing in the ground that's really good. There's something, the nourishment and stuff in there is good. But if even us, our bodies will go back to the dust, right?
Right.
After sin, the ground really got cursed. So all that come out of it, that's why stuff bites you. You know, everything's been changed because of sin. So when you look at why they call it beast, because it's all about instinctive movement and aggression versus spiritually led and forgiveness, right? So you see all these kings, they were all abusive and mean and bad. Some were even worse than others. So I wanted to bring that little part out. So when it says here they came out of the earth, so you know that it was not godly or had in sort of spiritual wisdom, okay? People that are brutish or mean or have, they call them beasts. They said, man, he's a beast of a guy. You know, all he do is want to hurt and maim. But this is how those kings acted, right? Everybody was striving for power and always wanted to have authority over somebody else. That was nothing for the masses. It was all for them. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so, the four kingdoms were Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome.
And Rome.
And that's what they're talking about. The kingdoms.
All right. Let's move on. I just want to throw that little tidbit out there. Mm-hmm. All right. 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking to pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Footnote, that very great things that he spoke are not good things. They were blasphemous things, and he railed and talked against any God. He was God. So when he said great things, he had a big mouth, and he was also very shrewd. We kind of worked through that this is a little, we've already kind of worked out how he worked. He was very shrewd, and he infiltrated the other kingdoms and pulled them down through trickery and chicanery. He was rough. He said he looked more stout than the others. He had vision and he had subtleties. He was a crafty speaker. All right. 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. You know what happened?
The Antichrist.
No. He prevailed against them. He was the only one that Antichrist. They'll show his name here in a minute. Epiphanes. He was the one that really made them turn from the faith. Mm-hmm. He did them in. He was so bad that they actually lost the faith. He put it on them. He put it on them. All right. And prevailed against them until who? The Ancient of Days came.
Oh, yes.
And the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down and break it into pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after him, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against what?
The Most High.
And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until time and times and the dividing of time. 26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Whether too is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Number one, that was a hard vision to deal with. Number two, any man that has that kind of revelation from God, it wears on him. Mm-hmm. It taxed him bodily to have that much information imparted. He said, I was wore out after that. Mm-hmm. Now just think if we get this much revelation from God, but to have all of this, mm-hmm. He's talking about what he has seen. He's talking about what he's going through right now. And then God's showing him there's going to be a kingdom coming. The question is, when is it coming? Mm-hmm. It's always in the meantime. God give you a word, give you a word. God give you a vision. God give you something. And when he give it to you, it's not there. When God give you a word, it's not there. It's coming. Mm-hmm. But what happens in the meantime while it's coming?
Keep the faith.
You got to keep the faith. And so this is why Daniel was given this, to try to relate to the people as much as possible. Hold on, change is coming. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
And so when we talk to people, we have to tell them, you know, a lot of people that we will have opportunity to minister to that are going through something, that's why you give them a word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Right? Because trouble don't last always. But when you're in the middle of it, it looks like it's right there and it ain't gonna never end.
I'm telling you.
You're like, well, when is it coming? where is this God you talking about?
How long?
I said, not long.
But it is long.
So I want us to draw as much of this as possible. Let me just touch on, well, y'all go ahead. Before I pull out these goodies.
I was just wanting to kind of relate to what you were saying about trusting and holding on. Hebrew of faith, 13th verse, said, they all died in faith, not having received the promise,
mm-hmm.
but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's kind of summation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11.
Yeah, Hebrews
11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
After 11.
That verse 6 said, but without faith, it's impossible to please.
Yeah. I just want to go back to when he's revealing, giving revelation to Daniel, and when he goes through this part about the persecution. Now, that's hard to bear. When you see what we, Daniel, not only Daniel, but us, we have to go through before his kingdom come. That's the hardest part, because it's real. And it's like, how long, when we were saying that, it could be years, but it's short in God's sight, but years are long in our sight. And that got me, because I'm like, we still going through it. How long ago was this that Daniel had his vision? And we're today, you know, being the hope of glory, we're still going through it. We don't know how long. We know it's winding down how many years. But we still have to bring hope to a lost nation and people who lose the faith. We have to lift them up.
And we have to keep ourselves built up.
Yes.
Number one, let's look at Daniel 7:16, when it says, I came near to the one that stood by. Did anybody think about what that?
What's that? 17?
16.
16.
It says, I came near to the one that stood by. And he asked a question. What does that sound like today?
Sound like he had an angel there.
But what did he do?
He asked him a question.
All right, so how do we do that today?
Pray.
Yes. Yes. Look, when you draw near, doesn't he say draw near?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
There's a lot of comes in the Bible, mm-hmm. a lot of them. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. So when there's something that's going on, draw near to God and ask. Mm-hmm. People act, I'm going through this thing. Well, are you praying about it? Did you ask God about it? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah, but I didn't get no answer. I love that. How long did you pray? You prayed about 10 minutes and said, okay. You know, or did you argue with God while you were praying? See, people don't never give you the whole story. They didn't give you bits and pieces.
I was going through some persecution and, I don't know, getting beat up, all kind of stuff. And I got on my knees. I said, Lord, asking him what I need to do. Only thing he said, one word, he said, wait. Mm. Nothing there. And I've been waiting, still waiting.
Still waiting.
Still waiting. But guess what? I've learned to accept that, and I'm at a place now where it don't bother me.
Good place.
It don't bother
empty
me.
It out. You empty it out. Yeah. You become empty to that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always how you look at it that sets the tone. When people say things to you, it's how you receive it and how you take it.
Mm-hmm. Let's stop praying about it.
Yeah, I stop when he's. Well, I still. I may bring it up from time to time, yeah. But I ain't moving from where I am.
Okay.
You know, I know that's
I'm
right.
Moving forward. Mm-hmm. I'm moving. The Lord has took me to another level.
Yes.
See, he's preparing me for something greater than what I am involved with now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what.
See, awesome. when God, what Joseph was in the prison and all that, he went through all of that. Well, God didn't leave him. He was preparing him for take rulership over over the country.
Yes.
So if we're gonna be rulers and kings and princes, whatever, then we're gonna have to be in a position where we can handle the situation. Not so much what you know, but it's who you know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes though, when I pray about something, I don't always take the time to listen. Mm-hmm.
Good confession.
just throw it out.
Most just throw it.
Most of us.
Now, if y'all don't mind, I'm gonna be funny. Can I be funny? Do y'all think God is hard of hearing?
No.
Right, because people say I've been praying and praying and praying. Really? There's some other things you could be praying about. You wearing out one thing that God's already heard you talk about. And if we go through here, as we get on, going into thinking about it, the Lord told him, said, listen, I heard the first petition. And I sent the answer down, but there was some warfare in the meantime until the answer got there. So a lot of times, I'm always interested when people say that. And my first thought is your level in God has got you going back and forth. Your faith level is not where it need to be. You pray, once you pray to God about a situation, your next prayer should be that you get an understanding of the situation.
Agree.
Because once you get an understanding of the situation, now you can be at peace about it and know that God's already working on it. All right? You put a petition out there, I'm just throwing out something. You put a petition out there about somebody in your family and you want them to get saved. And right now, this particular family member is rubbing you every way wrong that they can. They in your pocket, they in your house, they all over the place. And so this particular situation here, you bringing it before the Lord, and when you give it to him, then you're the one that's going to have to say, now, sometime it may take God a week, sometime it may take God a month, sometime it may take God a year to finish working with this situation. So who's going to have to get some peace about it until it all get worked out?
We are.
Yes. And so now we let things go and leave them with God, and then we move on because God wants us to go to another level while he works on this. He's going to take care of that. He's going to take care of that. But are you going to let that be a distraction?
Yeah.
Huh? Are you going to let that be... Classic word, the stumbling block that keeps you from getting to where you need to be. Because sometimes the enemy know exactly how to stop you. He know just the button to man.
That's right.
But you got to take away all them buttons. You got to take all that stuff away and say, hey, there ain't nothing in me you can mash. Because God and I got this relationship. You know, and I gave my husband, my cousin, my brother, my niece, my nephew, my co-worker, my boss. I gave all them folks over to you because they need you bad. But I need you even more because I got to deal with them.
Right?
So in this 16, he said, I came near to the one that stood by. We need to be near to the one.
Amen.
We need to draw near. And the more that we draw near, the more that God can minister to us. Daniel has taught me so much in this, because if you have your attention on God three times a day, God's going to reveal something to you.
That's good.
You will not be able to say God ain't talking if you in his face three times a day. You're going to get some revelation.
Wait, no, you just brought up something.
I'm just saying. And we now understand it starts through the evening, the morning, and then the noon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So before we go to bed, we see God's face. He give us sweet rest and peace, and then he can reveal and protection. Mm-hmm. Then we wake up. We said, now, show me this day, Lord. Because he said, seek me early while I might be found. So here we are again. So now we before him. So we before we rested, now that we got up, then as we go through the day, we take however many minutes you can squeeze out as much as possible. And now you before him again. And now he's you actually, that one there is the one where you said, thank you, Lord. Thanks, Lord. You know, not only did you wake me up and send me on my way, that word you gave me has been just what I needed.
Amen.
You know, and that's that real worship time. And then you finish on out the rest of your day. So these are some of the things that I done picked up out of that. And that's my desire now is to have a more excellent spirit to be found in me.
Yes, yes.
You know, and the only way I'm going to get it is if I submit three times a day to him.
Yeah.
However three it be,
you got to get
before him.
Yeah.
How can he minister to you in your spirit if you're not before him?
Yeah.
I'm not saying what God can't do, but a yielded vessel is sure going to get more than one that he got to tug at, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And I also, when you say prayer, your prayers, I'll put another flip side to it. I also pray for the boldness to do as well. When he... tell a lot of people say, well, he didn't speak to me. He probably did speak to you, but it's not what you want to hear, and it's not what you petitioned for. Because normally when I pray and God gives me something, I have to jump back. I'm like, Lord, you want me to do that? You know, and it's like so far from my will or what my flesh would do. It's like, I didn't say that. I wasn't asking for that. You know, I don't want that. I want this. So what I'm saying is that in your flesh, when he gives you something, your flesh, the first thing it want to say is, I can't do that. But we have to pray for that boldness coming behind that. Give me the boldness and the strength to do your will, because you can't do it in the flesh. You have to go to the spirit. Mm. And you certainly have to, because I was praying once, and this was long before I met my husband, but I was in another situation. I was praying about another person. Lord, do this for him, do that for him, do this. And the Spirit spoke in my spirit and said, you do it, everything you asking for him, you do it, you be it. You be the best thing that you could be. That wasn't my answer. I wasn't looking for that. So what I'm saying is, when he comes to you, it's so far-fetched from what you want a petitioning for. So just be ready to receive it. And that's why you want to pray for boldness and the strength. Because some of that knock you down. It's like, whoa.
But that's good. But one thing about what you were saying, too, about that, about three times.
Mm-hmm.
You want to really experience God's presence.
Yes, and that's good.
And that intimacy, that three times a day, you will experience his presence in a way that you probably never experienced it before.
That's true.
You see, and that's what you want. You want the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, you want his presence. His favor is upon you. You see.
All right. If all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to jump into... we finished, honey.
We finished
reading it. There's just a little bit more. Because our time is done, run out. I really want to get it with love for this last little part about God's kingdom and how it comes. It's gonna come through us, but I'll let our teacher deal with that, and then we'll move into chapter 8 on next week. All right.
Amen.
We got some offering envelopes. Anybody want to throw in something there? And we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you encamp your angels round about us. to protect us as we go to our next destination. And we thank you, Lord, that this word that you've given us from Daniel is going to rest, rule, and abide in our spirits. The enemy will not be able to come and pluck anything out. And we're going to be careful to give you alone all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody shouted amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.